The National Association of Parents of Backward Children was formed in 1946, an organisation we now know as MenCap. First, one of the founder members talks about her experiences of caring for her son with a learning disability before the advent of the society and how the society was set up.
Well, my name's Brenda Nixon and I had my son in 1955. And I was just told that he was a Mongol, as they were called in those days, and there would be no future for him. He'd probably die when he was five. He wouldn't probably, well, shall I say, he'd probably not live longer than five. And the best thing for us to do was to put him in an institution, which, of course, needless to say, my husband and I were just so horrified, we just picked up our bags and left. And had a good, well, I had a good weep. Of course, I think I spent the first 2 years crying. And we were just left then. And at that time, of course, nobody acknowledged you to any great extent. My mother-in-law wouldn't acknowledge that there was anything different from Roger, that except he had a bad heart. And I was referred to Hammersmith. And he went in for the investigation to see, X-ray the heart, see what holes were in it. When we went to collect him, the specialist said that he was very sorry, but he couldn't do anything for Roger. And in any case, he would still be a Mongol. And it was the last remark that really shook us, because we knew perfectly well he was going to be a Mongol. That could never be repaired. In those days, the baby clinic was once a month in the village. And the health visitor notified my husband and I that there was going to be a meeting in the town of people interested in setting up a branch of the society for the parents of backward and handicapped children. And would we like to go? And I think my son was 4 months old then, so it was very early on in the circumstances. And we said yes. I can't remember how many people were there. I was the only one with a baby. All the others had practically, you know, growing up children. And then so they decided then to form this branch of the society. There was no such thing as respite care or carers or anything at all. There was just nothing. And so the aim was to see about that, helping each other. We were, it was a self-help society, of course. And to try and get all of them recognised as people. You see, respite care was the culmination of a long effort, because the first sort of respite was having a night out at a club. And that was one evening that the parents had without their offspring. And that was the first sort of respite for the parents, to get initiated into letting their children go somewhere where they weren't in charge of them. And that was another thing, you see. And the society, with the members that ran the society, were adamant that there's no reason for their offspring not to have a club to go and meet, like other children, other people did, and have activities of their that they could do.
Brenda's husband Jim became chairman of the society, and along with other members he worked hard to improve the facilities and services available to their children. As Faye Bunyan explains, respite for parents and breaks for families were their priorities.
Whenever parents got together, one need appeared to be, and it came up time and time again, was holiday accommodation, where we could take the children, they could have a holiday in private without being stared at, where they could take the other children as well, because many of our children never had a holiday, especially the more handicapped ones. We fancied a caravan or a holiday chalet. And eventually Mr. Nixon tramped round East Anglia looking for sites, and he came up with a site of a chalet in Winterton. And having got it, he said to me, "You've made more noise than anybody else about this. There it is. You look after it." So I had the job of furnishing it with the help of quite a lot of local businesses that were very, very generous. Social services, yes, were a little bit, it's not going to work, and I hope you know what you're doing, but we ignored those completely. Some parents said they wouldn't use the chalet, and they gradually came round to it.
Brenda is certain that when it came to establishing provision for parents and children, the voluntary sector laid the groundwork for the statutory services.
A lot of the services that are there now really are developed from the fact that they started as voluntary services. I mean, who would have thought of them putting a swimming pool in St. John's? I mean, we used to take the boys, you see, holidays, and they went swimming, and naturally, Jim thought, why can't we go swimming with them? And he got permission to have a swimming session at the college on a Saturday morning, 12 to 1, when nobody else wanted it, providing we had to supply our own supervision, of course, and everything. But when it was first mentioned, I can remember, they said, "Good heavens, you're not thinking of taking these sort of children swimming." That was the attitude. "Who on earth do you think will go to look after them?" You went like a bomb.